Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Christopher Martell, Fox Sports Tennessee, in the neutral zone here on 104.5 The Zone, which, by the way, will continue throughout the summer. You can hear it tonight, 6 o'clock here on The Zone. Chris, how are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing wonderful, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing fine. I guess, you know, of course, the press conference a couple days ago at the end of the season, David Poyle and Peter Laviolette wrapping things up, saying that for the most part, this team's going to come back intact for next year. What kind of moves do you think we see? You got to think something's going to happen in this offseason that maybe that's unexpected.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're going to see any changes, it's going to be minimal. I mean, you're not going to see like a John Tavares splash land in Nashville. You're probably going to see something like maybe a depth winger, maybe somebody to just touch up the scoring on the second or third lines. I mean, you gotta like where the first and second lines are at right now, with the Jofa line and Fiala, Terrace, and Smith all coming back. But at the same time, maybe a player like Patrick Maroon coming in wouldn't be a bad idea. And I mean, you know, maybe you even kick the tires on potentially Ryan Reeves. I know Joe Rexroad brought it up the other day in his column on the Tennessean, and I don't necessarily think it's a bad idea. Get a little bit of more physicality in your lineup.
What do you think the correct approach is with Pecorine, with him going into the last year of his contract?
I think you ride out the contract until it's done. I've heard a lot about, you know, people saying, hey, trade him, or, you know, let him go, or cut him, or, but here's the thing, you know, it's with Rene, it was a 7-year deal 6 years ago, and it's $7 million, and it's a lot of money. But when you look at his statistics, his career averages, how he did the last 2 years, not looking at playoff performances, if you're looking at all that and putting that together and sitting here and saying, can he give us 40 to 50 games next year? Because you're going to have to assume that UC Saros is probably going to be picking up closer to a third, maybe even a half of the games next season to prepare for the eventual change in guard, if you will. And if you look at that, you can't find that on the open market, what Pecorine can offer. And even if he is getting $7 million for it, this is the last year of it. The cap pick comes off at the end of the year, or end of the 2019 season. So I think you bite the bullet, you live with it. You get UC Saros ready for the next year. If you can sign Pecorine to a 1 to 2 year extension for, I don't know, a couple million here or there, which I'm sure, you know, wouldn't be outside the realm of possibilities, I think you look into doing it, because you got to keep that transition flowing and getting UC Saros ready to be the next number one goaltender for the Predators.
Well, we're Christopher Martell of Fox Sports Tennessee in a neutral zone here on 104.5 The Zone. I guess, Chris, for me is, I mean, what is missing here? And when I'm asking, I'm thinking, okay, hypothetically, would you even consider giving up one of your defensemen for a big-time forward? And what would that look like, I mean, if you would or even consider it?
You know, I really don't think I would, Blaine. And the reason I say that is because you look at Nashville's top four defense. You got Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, P.K. Subban, Matthias Ekholm. Those four defensemen right there are better than I wouldn't say the majority. I'd say every single top four defense in the NHL. I don't think you're going to find a better top four anywhere in the NHL. And I don't think that's something you want to give away for more scoring on the offensive side of things when you have a top six that's dangerous enough. I mean, you go through the regular season, you look how they perform. I mean, this is a team that finished number one in the Central, number one in the West, number one in the NHL, and they just couldn't get it done in the playoffs. And when you really look at it, when you really boil it down to the simplest equation, it was the number one team versus the number two team going at it in the second round of the Western Conference playoffs. And it went all the way to game seven. Winnipeg got the best of Nashville. And I mean, it really was a coin flip in that game seven. Everybody knew how Nashville had weirdly struggled at home, but was doing really well on the road. And Pecorino just didn't seem to be himself. And to be honest, I think if that game goes the other way, you're looking at a series right now with Vegas that probably would be tied 1-1 right now. It's just it's a crazy Western Conference, and I think having the number one, number two teams facing off in the second round makes it appear a little worse than it really is.
Speaking of the Knights,
go ahead. No, you're good.
Speaking of the Knights, what would be a bigger story if the Knights won the Stanley Cup or Ovechkin won it with the Caps?
No, be Vegas.
I just was trying to nudge those, you know, the Predators fans.
Close.
Well, you know, I mean, if you look at I refuse to believe the Knights are going to win the Stanley Cup.
You're like me, and they're making a liar out of
everybody, right?
I hate it because it just makes me look like an idiot because I said all year that they're a fake team and the shoe's going to fall off, but that shoe has not even wiggled off the foot yet. So I kind of think, to be honest, I think the bigger story, you know, why it is a great story about Vegas, I think the bigger story is Ovechkin because it's not just Ovechkin. It's about the Capitals, and it's also about Barry Trotz. Mm. You know, a coach has been around for, I mean, almost 3 decades, and he couldn't get past the second round, finally got past there. Ovechkin hadn't sniffed a conference final, and he's gotten there. And the Capitals, who have just been, you know, a hard-on-their-luck team when they get to the playoffs, if they can win a Stanley Cup and put it all together, I mean, that's a huge story for a team that's been around as long as they have.
What do you think happened with Turris?
Oh, you know, I mean, that is such a good question. I don't know, to be honest with you. And I think you can kind of, you can look at that question a couple ways. You say, you know, what happened to Turris or what happened to that second line? Because the second line just seemed to fall apart in the playoffs.
And, now, you know, they played a decent game, believe it or not, in game 7. They didn't score.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that they were playing okay, but it just wasn't. It wasn't reflecting on the score sheet. And, you know, sometimes, and it's crazy. I say this all the time, but, you know, hockey is a game of bounces. Hockey is largely a game of luck. And you look at some of these goals and how they're scored, and, you know, if it goes an inch one way or goes an inch the other way, it doesn't go in the net. You know, I mean, these guys are out there. They're in the right position. They're making the plays. But every time they get a quality scoring chance, it just hits a stick or it deflects off of someone's body. And it just, for whatever reason, the bounces just weren't going that way for that line, you know. And, you know, like I said, if it were an inch one way or the other, they'd be scoring all those goals. So I don't necessarily know, you know, if they were doing the wrong thing. I think it just wasn't falling for them. And, you know, you can point at Turris, you can point at Craig Smith, you can point at Kevin Fiala, but the fact of the matter is, if the bounces aren't going your way, it's going to look bad any way you look at it.
It bothered me. Even in games in the first round, as well as the second round, that they got outworked. It's one thing to, you know, pay tribute to Winnipeg's speed and scoring ability. And for that very reason, Chris, I just think you better be careful about standing pat, and you better think long and hard about who you bring into that room, because that guy may be, you know, that guy maybe stirs the drink a little bit and gets these guys to play a little nastier.
Yeah, and I think going back to the comment about Ryan Reeves, that's why I think you may kick the tires on a guy like that, because around the league, when you look at someone like Ryan Reeves, is he the kind of guy that can stir that drink? Like you said, absolutely he is. He's a pest, and you know, if he's not playing on your team, you hate him. I mean, it's almost like Jordan Tutu going back in the day when every other team of the other 29 teams in the league hated going up against Jordan Tutu, but Preds fans loved him. Preds fans loved him. And, you know, I think that's the kind of guy that can bring that level of physicality and that extra role into the locker room. But at the same time, you know, you don't want to mess with the chemistry that's already there, and you don't want to tip or rock the boat too much. But, I mean, you're right. They did seem like they were getting pushed around a little bit. And I think it's more surprising the Colorado series than the Winnipeg series. They got muscled around for two, almost three games in that one, but got out of it in six. And that was a series that you looked at and you were thinking, this doesn't look like the Predators team that went through the regular season number one in the entire league. But overall, I don't think you're going to have to make large sweeping changes to fix any of the problems that the National Predators have. I think it's just going to take a minor piece here or there.
Christopher Martel, Fox Sports Tennessee in the neutral zone. You can hear it at 6 o'clock tonight right here on the zone. Chris, by the way, condolences and all the best to you and your family. I know with your mother's passing, we've been thinking about you.
Guys, I really appreciate it. It's been a long few days, but, you know, it's good to get back and talking about hockey and kind of trying to get my mind off of it. So I appreciate it.
Have a good day, man.
Thanks, guys. You too.